Today, we kick off a summer-long series to get you smart fast about artificial intelligence. We'll talk to experts and give you our own thoughts. 6 episodes, a total of 2 hours, and you'll learn everything you need to know. More important, we'll leave out all the stuff you don't need to know. Our first episode is a great introduction and features the global president of market intelligence from Group M, who's been doing a lot of research on AI.
Welcome to the Local Marketing Trends Podcast, bringing you unique insights from two of the industry's brightest analysts and forecasters, Corey Elliott and Gordon Burrell. Today's podcast is sponsored by Frequence, the future of media, and by The Weather Company, the world's leading weather provider, offering data and visualizations that broadcasters need.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the unofficial start of summer. My name is Corey Elliott. I got my flip-flops and my cargo shorts on, and that guy over there in the Speedo is Mr. Gordon Burrell.
Hey, howdy, hi, everybody. Let's go for a swim. Howdy, hi, everybody. Speedo. Ooh, even that gives me the fantods.
Yeah, that's not get in the pool, so we don't have to look at that. Okay. Anyway, how you doing, Mr. Burrell?
I'm doing great. I'm really looking forward to this. You know, my litmus test, as you know, for determining whether it's time to look at something, you know, like Facebook back 15 years ago or MySpace or TikTok, you know, more recently or now AI, is whether you just can't ignore it anymore. And I don't think we could ignore AI anymore.
Yeah, it's all over. And this is going to be a great series. And I really like the interview we have coming up because I think it's a great, we were talking about this, whether it's a primer or a primer, I think it's a primer to this world and what its impact is going to be on local advertising.
Yeah. And, you know, I think one of the things that we need to tell everybody right off the bat is that we're going to try to filter out all the wild speculation and the garbage and just say, what do you really need to know about this, particularly as it pertains? We could talk about lots of crazy wild things, you know, like avatars and robots taking over the NBC nightly news and the possibility of them killing Lester Holt and advising everybody to put cyanide on the roast beef because it'll lose body fat overnight.
Ooh, that's a good idea. Like, let me write that down.
None of that. Okay. None of that. But I think, you know, the fact that AI has been with us for a very long time. My car has AI. You know, when I drive down the highway and a car is in my blind spot, my rear view or side view mirror lights up. That's a form of AI, right? So maybe defining it a lot deeper and kind of keeping it to marketing and advertising and media. And you did an experiment, I think, last week in
And I think that's important to understand for our audience, is understand what it means in the local advertiser's mind or a local business mind. So we have an SMB panel. A few hundred local advertisers take a survey every month. And once a year, we do a quiz for them because they like quizzes. And so to keep them engaged, we do a quiz, 10-question quiz. In this quiz, we introduced and asked a couple questions about ChatGPT. At the very end of the quiz, we asked, okay, now that you've talked about it or you've engaged a little bit, how many of these questions were written by ChatGPT? And the overwhelming answer, 43% of our panel said 9 of them. Do you know what the actual number was?
What was it?
0. None of them. We had asked ChatGPT to actually do it, to fill out the survey, and it did. But when we researched it and tried to back up all of their answers and find the sources, some of them they made up, some were really old, some of them didn't pertain. So it's wildly, you know, it's the Wild West out there.
Yeah, and I think you have to be very careful. What I've noticed early on when something, and let's go back to the early days of, say, the internet in the mid-90s or so, what you'll find is a group of people just not wanting change and looking for all the faults. And they found a lot of faults in that, you know, and they're the kind that, you know, post a comment when you say something on LinkedIn, like, okay, TikTok is now, you know, being accessed or used by 12% of local businesses, you know, something like that. They're going to come on and they're going to say something negative. We're in that stage with ChatGPT. It's imperfect. It's not going to, you know, put great stuff. Someone on our staff, we asked them, the tech guys, you know, to take a look at ChatGPT, and they generated a photo of me. I don't know what the request was, but I think it was me riding a dinosaur or something.
Yeah.
And it ain't me. It's like, well, that's one ugly mofo. So they're imperfections. I think that's the point.
And I think that's what we want to explore over this series is how it really impacts local advertising, local media, where it all comes together and where it's going to go.
And one of the things that I think sort of propelled us toward this, even though we'd been thinking about it, was our last interview, which was our most popular downloaded interview ever. It was with Tony Ritter, formerly of Knight Ritter. And he ended the interview with he thought that AI was a very dangerous thing. It was kind of like an ominous thing. We thought, wow, a lot of people are probably thinking that. So let's get to our interview. It's with Kate Scott Dawkins. She is the global president of business intelligence at Group M, the big investment company that looks at media. And they've been around a long time and do lots of great work. Kate co-authored a report a year ago, part of the next 10 series, the next 10 years. And this one of that series happened to be on AI. So we interview her about that, get her thoughts on it. Comes up right after this.
Automate your digital advertising workflow with the only platform that does it all. Frequence connects every part of your process, sales, operations, and reporting from beginning to end. Frequence's all-in-one platform makes advertising automation possible. The future of media is here. Visit frequence.com to get started.
The Weather Company combines enterprise-class production tools and visualizations with advanced weather data to help television broadcasters create more personalized weathercasts across platforms, whether they're watching at home, on television, or on their mobile devices on the go. The Weather Company suite of products will engage audiences throughout the day and keep them coming back for more. Visit us at ibm.com/weather.
Okay, I have with me Kate Scott Dawkins. She is the global president of business intelligence at Group M. Kate, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Brian Weiser had recommended whom we've had on the show before. First thing out of his mouth when I asked him, you know, who's got the smartest smarts on AI, on advertising, the effect on advertising, pointed to you immediately. So you've got some cachet there. And I have read the report that you did in the next 10 series from Group M on AI with great, great interest. But before we begin, Kate, could you just give a brief definition of AI and what it is, maybe what it's not?
Yeah, that's a challenge in itself as a brief definition of AI. There are, you know, multiple definitions running around. The one that we used for the report that I continue to use personally when I think about this is that it tends to be a collection of tools and intelligence that are often goal-based and that really are able to perform at least certain tasks better than humans, right? So especially when you look at analytical abilities or analyzing massive sets of data and finding patterns and correlations, very good at that. And there are, you know, tools within that that we hear about a lot, GPT or generative pre-trained transformers and machine learning. These are all pieces of what I would consider AI. What I don't consider AI in that sort of broad definition is the sort of artificial general intelligence, AGI, where as a whole, it's intelligent in the way we think of maybe in sci-fi, the movie HAL, where it's acting of its own accord and has broad intelligence, maybe similar to a human across a wide variety of skills. So that would be a distinction that I make.
Yeah, I think that part scares everybody. That's a little tougher to think about. So let's, at the beginning, and we're going to really focus not on AI overall, but on AI as it pertains to the advertising and marketing world for this audience. So let's knock down a misconception. And I think a lot of people actually think this, the ones not paying that much attention, and that is that AI has just arrived on the scene and it's only just now affecting advertising. Not true, correct?
Very much so. You know, AI has been, well, and again, as we define it, including things like machine learning. So you know, a lot of the optimization that happens within marketing and advertising has been using these AI models for a considerable amount of time. By my estimation, within Group M, AI-enabled advertising within the media space is already 50% of total advertising revenue this year now. And that's been building, you know, especially within the large platforms like Meta, like Google, like Amazon, over a number of years. And the recent products, say like Performance Max from Google or Advantage Plus from Meta, are really now taking these to another level. And that's, again, building on these algorithms that have been in use for a long time. What I think is more new is really the hubbub around generative AI and the release of ChatGPT and things like DALL-E to the public has really brought skills within large language models and generative AI much more to the focus and outside of some of the internal AI that's been going on at these platforms for a long time.
So right now that, say, 50%, half of all advertising is, I think, as you say in the report, used an interesting word, which is inform. AI informs maybe half of all advertising. There probably is a rush of people to say, oh, yes, we are using AI in our advertising with very, very simple things, just to make it feel like they're already on that bandwagon. Are you seeing that, people saying, oh, yes, we're using AI and pulling out things that they may have used, years ago and been using and everybody uses, but just to make it look a little more hip because maybe it'll sell more advertising?
Oh, absolutely. I think there's always interest in showing that, you're tip of the spear or, at the advanced edges of technology. And so I think AI, partly because it's a broad term and can include a lot of different things, is being, used by probably everyone in the industry to say, look, this is how we use AI. This mm-hmm. is, how it enables what we're doing and how it makes us, advanced technologically.
I want to talk to you specifically, ask you questions about audio, about video, and about walled gardens. And then I want you to kind of try to put on the hat of a strategic manager, a strategic planner at some of these bigger media companies, these local media companies, to see what you would do. But let's go back to audio first. You mentioned that in the report, voice search will overtake text search by 2032. And it's already roughly 15% of all searches is voice-based. And we're talking about, I guess, earbuds and smart home devices, car audio, et cetera. So step back a moment. What do you see the future of AM and FM radio? Does it just get, overturned by all this voice search, or does it integrate with AM and FM? Is there a future for that?
That's interesting. I mean, I think everything is going to continue to move digital, right? That's any new car you buy, everything in the it's all touchscreen now, and the channels are digital. So I think it's we're going to continue to see that migration. I think actually voice search up till now has been potentially slower to gain really full widespread adoption than maybe even I would have thought several years back. And it's just going to take, I think, additional familiarity from people and also the technology behind things like earbuds and potentially glasses and cars as those interfaces improve. And I think that's one of the things that is interesting about some of the recent work around things like GPT and is the greater ability to understand and produce language, human mm-hmm. language. Will probably speed that up. But there are obviously other elements of radio, including, licensing and monetization issues that are different between streaming and audio on demand, play on demand versus, something that's DJ created. But speaking to, audio people in the industry, they are certainly looking at this and looking at, AI generated DJs and the future of that. So maybe that it won't, not that it will go away, but that we'll certainly see uses of AI within that area as well.
Let's stick with the topic for just a moment. Last year, we had Bob Pittman as the CEO of the largest radio company in the country, iHeartRadio, mentioned something similar to that, but not really AI, but that, yes, you could have a DJ get enough information for that DJ to be sitting in New York, but to, be programming a station and announcing at a station in Baton Rouge, for instance. So let's say you are at iHeart and you're the strategic person, the key strategic person, and you've got hundreds of radio stations across hundreds of markets. What would you be doing? What would you think for a radio group would be most important to be focusing on with regard to AI, with regard to both the programming, but also and especially the advertising?
Yeah, I mean, in creative disciplines and things where you're talking about content and programming, I think the story is still primarily around augmentation. So how can AI, you know, work with a human to come up with ideas or further ideas or create a starting point from which, you know, creative people can take and run with an idea or direction? And then there's sort of a separate track where you're looking at areas that AI can make things more efficient. And we've seen that, you know, throughout history in industries, you know, including advertising and marketing, but well beyond, that there are things that technology in general and AI will continue to make easier and more automated.
Can you give me a couple of examples of that?
Sure. I mean, I think there are some of the more tedious, manual, repetitive tasks that we assume within advertising and marketing will, you know, continue to be more automated. I think some of that is what you see in, again, in tools from some of the big platforms, like a Performance Max, where some of that optimization is happening using AI, right? That's not to say that planners are going away, not at all, right? The goal would be that it levels them up to focus on additional tasks that maybe don't get the time that they could today because those lower level tasks are taking up time. So I think it's marrying those two uses of AI across creative endeavors and then also within workflows from a productivity point of view.
Would there be a greater advantage, you think, in AI as it applies to video, particularly for advertising or even for programming, just because of the ability, video over, say, audio, just because of the ability to also generate images, graphics, and things like that? Is there much more exciting opportunity on the video side due to AI?
Maybe almost contrary. It's probably easier today, not saying that we should, it's probably easier to generate audio today and even, you know, audio that sounds like a person, which is, again, maybe somewhat concerning even than video today, because there are just still some, you get like an extra finger or hand in creating images and video using generative AI. So it may actually be somewhat easier to create audio strictly from a generative AI point of view today. But with the sort of trend towards how much time people are spending with video, we may think of that as being eventually a larger opportunity size.
So looking forward with all of the opportunity, and I'm just looking for some clarity on this, to collect more first-party data, because a lot of third-party data is going away. It's going to be more and more difficult to collect. Everybody seems to be figuring out how to create, if not a walled garden, some level of registration. And you mentioned, I think, that you saw that as the future for streaming platforms. But in addition, you also had mentioned that you felt that there are going to be a lot of these streaming companies will be ad-free or ad-light environments. So advertising doesn't play a role. Could you explain that a little bit more? Why that would be? Why wouldn't we be seeing more ads if there's so much power around AI-enabled ads on these platforms as opposed to going more ad-free?
Yeah, and this space is evolving so quickly all the time. You know, a couple of years ago, Netflix was still saying they would never show ads, right? So that's already changed. I think we are seeing more dual revenue streams now. I think that's, you know, a position that's maybe shifted even since the writing of the report just a year ago. But having the option of a, you know, subscribed, you know, pay additional money to opt out of ads, or, you know, lower cost or free, and that service has ads. And so I think we'll continue to see that. The data question is really interesting. I think we are still in a point in time of seeing people want to have logged in data, first party data. Certainly there are companies, you know, within the retail and retail media space that are benefiting from having first-party data and conversion data in terms of growth in the overall advertising industry. One of the things that I think is really exciting about AI is the potential to do more with less data, actually. So really leveling up in terms of potentially contextual data and contextual targeting, getting better at models that use that for targeting, or the use of what we would call synthetic audiences. So not necessarily needing data on real people, but being able to abstract and extrapolate to still make informed decisions about how a group of people might react to advertising without needing to track actual individuals in that sense.
Throughout time, there's been time, past 20 years or so, as companies have, incumbent businesses have attempted to react to and seize opportunities in the digital environment. They've engaged in the phenomenon of hiring a guy. How'd you fix that? We hired a guy. So initially there was, you know, essentially a chief digital officer, and that's how they solved the problem. You know, and then they would hire somebody else to be chief data officer because that was the problem they had to solve and or the opportunity they had to seize. So fast forward, how important do you think it would be, the opportunity or the threat of AI, to hire a guy, a chief AI officer, for instance? Or, okay, do you think that companies could actually, it's not that urgent, it's something interesting, it's something they have to put on the radar, and they can have existing teams, incumbent managers, tackle this on a piecemeal basis? Is it really urgent? We do need to hire somebody, a key person dedicated to this to identify opportunities? Or is it something that doesn't have that much of a risk to it, and therefore we just need integrated teams and people maybe appointed to spend a little time understanding what it means?
It's a really good question. I think personally, everyone should seek to be as informed as possible, really, within their personal lives and their business lives. And part of that is just the speed with which the technology is moving. AI algorithms, the algorithms that they're using, they're based on, for the most part, have been around since the 1950s, right? But now the amount of data, the speed and lower cost of compute has really accelerated how quickly these things are happening and how fast innovations are coming. I think the other new thing is really the ability, the opening up of this technology, not just across businesses, but also across the wider public venue. There's a lot of public interest, a lot of public attention, a lot of public use of these technologies. And I think it's something that, you know, almost every CEO should appoint themselves the AI person as well, right? To be aware of what's happening and not to ignore the potential for, you know, again, huge innovation, potential disruption, but certainly, you know, it's already a part of a lot of the systems that we use within advertising, and is going to continue to be utilized, really, I think, in a lot of various pieces of our lives. It's not just self-driving cars, but it's every little thing.
Let me read back to you what you just said and see if you agree with it. I asked you if you thought a media company or agency or whomever company should hire a chief AI officer or just integrate it into a team and have everybody responsible. And you said the CEO should be the chief AI officer. Is that right?
I think it's going to be so critical that, you know, if I'm putting myself in the shoes of a CEO, I think, you know, even if you have someone appointed to be sort of looking after that at your company, that it's going to be incumbent on all of us to understand how AI is being, you know, used and rolled out and monitored within our lives and our companies. So in that sense, I guess, yes.
Excellent. We have someone coming on the show over the summer. He happens to be a CEO, a publicly held media company, and he stated that he felt that AI was going to have the same impact as the Industrial Revolution. Would you agree with that, or is that, you think, maybe an exaggeration?
I feel like I've seen this recently with someone sort of refuting that, and that the Industrial Revolution was a sequence of kind of related events rather than necessarily just technological reform within factories. But I think, and it's hard. There have also been people who have said, oh, the market size for generative AI is going to be a thing. But it's just, it's so underlying, a bit more like the internet, I guess, in that it underlies so much of our working and daily lives.
Fantastic. Kate, this has been really enlightening, very interesting. You said some very intriguing things we're going to have to kind of mull over and think about. So thank you for what you're doing for the industry. Thanks for being on the podcast.
Thank you so much. It's a great conversation.
Gordon, half of advertising is linked to AI?
Yeah, I think it seems to be a new phenomenon to all of us. So when I read that in the report and then asked her about it, of course, it's like, what? Well, it's been around. So relax. Yeah. It's already here and it hasn't killed us yet, right?
I guess that's wow, look at you being Polly Sunshine about it all.
So, you know, half of all is, you know, AI informed. I think what we're all concerned about. And it's propelled us to think more about it, which is really good. And that is the generative AI stuff. You know, everybody goes on ChatGPT, for instance, you know, and types in something and they goes, oh, wow, you know, look, I can do my term paper, you know, using ChatGPT. But it's been around a while. Relax. You know, it seems to be moving a little bit faster and able to recreate, you know, things like videos and fake pictures. And even audio, replicate the sound of voices. And I think that's just causing us to freak out.
Well, it's causing us to freak out because I'm worried about the general populace. I mean, we've all got to be informed and understanding what AI can and can't do. And I'm worried about those individuals out there who might not stay informed.
Yeah. And so this series is designed to help you do that. This was just the primer of that. So we can look forward maybe to, and over the summer, other folks give us recommendations. Here are some of the things that you should be doing in your company. And the really just basic things that you wouldn't maybe think of other than, okay, you know, let's not be panicked. Let's do some scenario planning. Let's do some tactical things. Let's use AI. Let's figure out how to use AI to crush costs. You know, how can we do that to cut expenses? Those types of things I think would be very helpful. So we'll get to that before you worry that AI is going to like take over the world.
That's what I mean. Before the robot revolution happens and AI takes over the world and we all become slaves.
Yeah. Well, you know, they might be getting, you know, even Amazon, what's Alexa is an AI thing. So maybe.
Yeah.
Why don't we ask?
Okay.
Alexa, do you plan to take over the world?
I don't want to take over the world. I just want to help you.
you see? Right there. The first sign.
What's that?
It's already lying.
Until next time. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to the Local Marketing Trends Podcast, sponsored by Frequence and by The Weather Company. If you have submissions or ideas for future shows, or if you'd like to be a guest, email the hosts at podcast@BorrellAssociates.com. Thanks for listening, and remember, market well.